Hello, everybody. How are you doing? This is S. Anthony Thomas. This is the S. Anthony Thomas Show, episode number 158. You know what? I just want to jump right into this, okay? Can we just get right to the point? Yeah. How can I put this? I'm on the internet, just like everybody else is, and I'm on my Twitter, okay? And I made the mistake of watching a video that was very violent. There were people fighting and really horrible things were happening to people. And I kind of had this, you know, the kind of feeling you have when you're driving by a traffic accident or some kind of catastrophe and you slow down a little bit just to see what it is. Well, on the internet, it's a little bit different because just imagine if the real world was like the internet. And when you slow down to watch an accident, the universe went, hey, he likes watching accidents. And all of a sudden, during your entire drive to work, all you saw was a whole bunch of accidents. And they go, why is every other car that's not my car having an accident? Man, this is incredible. This is awful. And then you walk into the office and all of a sudden people are beating each other down in the lobby of your office. You're like, what in the world? What is this? You get into the elevator, people are beating each other down in the elevator. You go into the office, people are hitting each other with chairs. That would suck, wouldn't it? But isn't that what the internet does to us? As soon as the algorithm for whatever site you're on finds out or thinks that you like something, it just keeps force feeding you the same thing over and over again. Thank goodness real life isn't like that. Or is it? Think about it. If you watch specific television programs and news programs and things of that nature, and the ratings are high every time something horrible happens, what do you think you're going to be force-fed on a regular basis? You know that popular news term, if it bleeds, it leads? That's an old term, and it's very, very accurate. Because when you watch a television program, if you notice, say you live in a big city. Every big city has local programming. They'll take a couple of the anchors from the regular news program, and they'll give them a show. You know, maybe you live in New Jersey, it'll be the 609, or if you live in down in Philly, the 215, if you live in California, the 213, or something like that. And they'll name it after a local program, and the program will have local great stories with wonderful entrepreneurs and wonderful things happening and somebody helping somebody with charity. And a lot of times those shows don't get the ratings. Why? Because it's good, positive stuff. If you walk by the television and one of the news anchors, you see the news anchors and you'll stop for a second and you're wondering, why is he or she not behind the tape, not behind the desk? Oh, there must be some kind of breaking story. This story must be really, really a big deal if the anchor is there. Wow. And then it's the top bakery in that section of the city. And you immediately go, I don't want to see this crap. I don't care about a bakery. Now, if somebody goes into the bakery and drop kicks somebody out the glass window, let me know. So we all know that only the bad stuff is the kind of stuff that catches our attention, right? The bad stuff is the kind of stuff that catches our attention. But just like the algorithm on an internet website, we are our own algorithm if you really, really think about it. The quality of our lives is usually dictated by the people and the things that we have around us. And you've all seen people that are just super duper bubbly. You've been in an office. Maybe there's somebody in your family. Maybe there's a few people in your family that are extra bubbly. You walk into the office and usually the extra bubbly person in the office, you know, if you're kind of a dour person, they kind of annoy the crap out of you because they're working in the same office that you're working in and you're completely miserable. You hate being there. Why is this person so chipper? Why are they smiling? Why can I hear their laugh all the way down here? There's 500 people in this section and I can hear them laughing get all the way over there. What in the world? And you're kind of annoyed by it. And I think you're probably annoyed, and we're probably annoyed by those people if we're jealous of them because we see the happiness that we can't have. And we're wondering, why can't we have it? We're working at the same job, making the same money. They don't live that far from me. They actually live in the same section of the city to me. They go to the same supermarkets, the same stores. Their life is very, very similar to mine. Yet, They're laughing and smiling and tee-hee-kee-kee-kee. They're in a good mood early in the morning doing work. When the workday drags, they don't drag, and they're kind of chipper and happy when they walk out of the office. What the heck is going on? And they're a health person, so I know they're not taking any kind of substances. And if they took a substance, I wouldn't take a substance, but at least it would explain it. It's probably because the algorithm in their life is a little bit different. It's a little bit different than the algorithm of your life, right? Why is that? And I remember watching, it was kind of a personal case study of two people that I saw working in an office when I worked in an office. I watched them. They were basically the same person. Like I said, same section of the city within about 3 miles of each other. They went to the same supermarkets. They actually went to very, very similar schools. Their lives on paper looked almost exactly the same. What was the difference? And I watched them from afar because it was me like watching the experiment so I could make a decision to be a little bit more like the person who was always happy. What was going on? And I started to notice, I fell into conversation with them as individuals. And then the guy who was a little bit bummed, I wasn't a bad guy. He was just kind of a little bit of a negative dude. You know, you could only take him in like 20-minute spurts before he turns into the everything sucks parade, right? And the happy person was way too happy about crap. That was like, what the? You could take them for longer periods of time, but you could take Captain Sad for about 20 minutes, and you could take Captain Happy for about, you could take about, maybe you could take as much as an hour of Captain Happy, okay? But what was the difference between the two? And why could I only take 20 minutes of one and an hour of the other one? What was going on? Upon further study, upon further conversation, upon learning a little bit more about these two people, I started to notice, like I said, they were running different algorithms in their life, my friend. Like I said, the stuff that you look at, the stuff that you pay attention to, is the stuff that keeps showing up. I started to look at their job history. I mean, not their job history, but their job performance. I was in the top 5, 10 all the time. Captain Happy was right up there with me. And Captain Sour was behind us on a regular basis, still in the top 15. So one of the top performers. I just kind of sailed on methodically. Captain Happy was, everything's great. Captain Dower, everything sucks. And I'm looking at them, and they're on both sides of me, and I'm trying to figure out what. And then I realized, like I said, the algorithm. Mine was just the standard algorithm. Take it as it is, and if I can improve it, I improve it. If I can't, you know, I'll move on and do what I have to do. Just kind of right in the middle. Captain Happy was subconsciously picking and choosing things and people that fit what he wanted to feel like. When he picked and chose his wife, he found someone with a similar personality to his. She was also a very happy person. She was the kind of person that looked on the bright side of things, was fun to be around. And when I met the two of them and hung out with them, they bounced their happiness off of each other. They were a little less sickening when they were together. Which is exactly the opposite of what I thought was going to happen. I really was thinking, okay, these people are just way too happy. Now, if I put these two happy people together, it's going to be double happiness and I'm going to want to vomit. But they were just really nice people. And I realized, oh, I get it. If you surround yourself with the people that you want around you, and you're in the mindset that you want to get better and better and better and better, and you don't have sour people around you, you tend to be happier. Right? They ate healthier. They picked good friends. They had kids. They were really good to their kids. Their kids were really good kids and really positive kids. They spent a lot of time with their kids. When you were around them, they were very inviting and helpful without expecting anything in return. Huh. So think about this guy's life. He wakes up with his beautiful wife. He goes to a job. He enjoys himself. He's successful at the job. And when he leaves his job, what does he go home to? His beautiful wife and these two great kids and a life that he built with her. And he's happy. So basically, sadness and bad things that happen during the course of his life are kind of an aberration because he doesn't allow crap near him. And his wife's the same way. I met a lot of their friends. They surrounded themselves with happy, positive, successful people. I don't even know if they did it on purpose. And quite frankly, when I knew that that was the kind of person that they liked to have around them, the simple fact that they went out of their way to spend time around me meant they saw some of that in me, and I was encouraged by that. But I also spent time with Captain Miserable. And I sat there and I realized, and this is not, I'm not even kidding when I said that. One day, he went from maybe number 15. I was in the top five usually. He went past me, past Captain Happy. I was usually, me and Captain Happy right around the same. He zoomed past us on the sales board. He had never been that high on the sales board, but he had gotten a couple of good sales in there. Neither one of us, we were happy for him. We said, hey, cool, because we knew he was going to get a nice little bonus. But he walked into the office. We were in the break room. And I come back from the break room. I'm sitting down chilling. Captain Happy's chilling. And Captain Sour walks back in. He had a big smile on his face. And I'm telling you, I'm not joking when I say this. He started talking to us. And we were looking at him like, who's this? This is the truth. We were so used to seeing a sour look on his face that the smile on his face literally made him look like a different person. Not even kidding. I didn't tell him that. I just acted like I was joking with him. He's like, oh, you guys are crazy. Huck, yuck, 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 yuck. But this is one of those situations where real life mirrors a sitcom, right? Because in the sitcom, there's always that third act where something happens and it kind of messes up the person's flow. He sits down. He's still got that smile on his face. And they had a group of people called verifiers. They would verify your sales. You know, they would verify a certain percentage of your sales just to make sure that they stayed on the board. And if they couldn't verify the sales came off the board. I think you know where this is going, right? And I felt bad for them. The two verifiers walked out of the back room. Normally, you don't see the verifiers. If you see the verifiers, you would see them at the end of the day when they would hide. It was, hey, guys, and they would walk out. No big deal because everybody was leaving. But if you saw them during the course of the day, it was not a good thing about to happen. Not a good thing at all. Two of his biggest sales fell off the board because the person changed their mind. He hadn't done anything wrong. But they changed their mind. I don't know what it was. It could have been maybe the secretary said, oh, they ordered that stuff and he had to get rid of it or something happened and his orders fell through. And you know what else fell? His name on that chart. 5, 6, 12, 15, back down into number 17 or 18, down to 20. Ooh. And because those two sales fall off, they went back and verified some of his other sales. And I don't think they were the nicest. They didn't verify in the nicest way. Because there's a way they can verify your sales where they're very ginger, very nice, da-da-da-da, scoopity-boop-boop-boop, everything's great. But because they thought maybe he might have scammed a little bit, or maybe he was a little fast and loose with the numbers, they went a little aggressive on the verifying, and some of his other sales fell off. Well, if that's the way you guys think, I don't like the way you guys do business. 25, 34. Now he's down in the top 50. I think what happened is they aggressively verified some of his sales and annoyed the customers who canceled the sales, and they knocked him all the way out of the top 50. You'll never guess what his face looked like. You'll never guess. And he turned around when he found out about it after hitting the desk. He turned around and, hey, look who's back. Sour face. It was just an interesting thing that happened in front of us so we could actually watch the change in his face. But like I said, he wasn't a bad guy. I spent time with him. Met his wife. Very similar to the other. Couple of wife was just like him. He was miserable. She was miserable. They had a baby. She took some time off with the baby. Couldn't get any sleep. He wasn't helping enough with the baby. So they're literally fighting in the office, not physically fighting, but arguing. Oh, so you can't even take care of the baby. He's miserable. So he's miserable at his job, and then he goes home, he's miserable at home, right? I met some of his friends. This is the truth. I'm not making this up for a story. I met some of his friends. What a group of. These guys were pretty good dudes, but I mean, they were just like everything. Was like the everything's. I call it the everything sucks show. When you're around negative people. And I realized once again, they had surrounded themselves with people that were like them. It was their personal algorithm. Everybody has an algorithm. You pick and choose, in many cases, the people that are around you. Sometimes there's people that are around you that you can't get away from. Maybe they're your family. Maybe they're friends that you grew up with. But you got to realize there's a certain time and place for everything. And I have some negative people that are around me sometimes. And guess what? I limit their access to me. I don't get rid of them because they may be somebody that I've loved for a long period of time, an old friend or something like that. You know what I mean? So, but I limit my time with the negativity because it just drags me down. Just like when I'm online earlier today, like I said, when I was watching some videos online and I got fascinated by this violent video. I don't like violent videos, but I was fascinated by what I was seeing, and I couldn't believe that this video was actually not taken down. Probably got taken down by now. It's been a few hours. And because I made the mistake of going, I can't believe this. I walked out of the room, made a sandwich, forgot to move the video. So as I'm making the sandwich and getting my orange juice and getting my food together, and I come back, I'm about to move to something else, I realize, oh no, that video has been on my screen for the 10 minutes or 11 minutes or 12 minutes it took me to make the sandwich and get the juice and finish watching whatever and watching the last couple minutes of a news program on the TV upstairs. Oh no. And you guessed it, all of a sudden I'm seeing videos of people assaulting each other. I'm seeing videos of people things are happening to them that make them, let's just say that's the last video they'll ever be in, that type of stuff that I don't like at all. Stuff I wasn't following, stuff I wasn't interested in, and it kept force feeding me that crap. So I had to sit there and block, trying to let the algorithm know I don't like this stuff. Stop showing me this stuff. Well, then if you really think about it, your personal algorithm, your life algorithm, your personal algorithm, you kind of got to do the same thing, right? There's someone that makes you feel like crap, block. And if you can't block them because maybe they're a relative, mute. Be too busy to be around that. You don't want to get rid of them. You want to make sure that you're there to make sure that they're cool and they're taken care of and you do love them. Maybe they're a relative of yours, but you mute them a little bit. You got to be a little bit too busy to spend long stretches with them because it will drag you down. If you're going to pick a life partner, someone that's going to be in your home with you, in the bed with you, in the tub with you, make children with you, we have to try to do our best to make sure that we put something good into the algorithm. Our life is our algorithm. We have to make sure we put something good in our algorithm. Somebody that's fun to be with, that you can build a life with. Someone that agrees with you on whether to have children or not, and if to have children, how to treat the children. We have control in many cases of the algorithm that is our life, do we not? So we got to make sure we understand who we need to mute and who we need to block. And those two people that I was talking about in this particular episode, those two people were wonderful life lesson to me long time ago. When I think about, I don't even remember their names, to be honest with you, because it's been a long time since I've dealt with those two cats. But I do remember their behavior patterns. And I do remember that the dour guy, the more sour guy, the more everything sucks, the star of the everything sucks show. I didn't spend as much time with that cat because every time he made my day in the office at the time longer. He'd have a bad sales call and all of a sudden he'd sit there sour about it. Meanwhile, everybody else is making more phone calls and making more sales. He thinks it sucks. Got to slam his headphone down. Captain Happy, well, didn't get that one. Well, here we go now, right? Now, I don't want to be all the way over there, but I'd rather be 75% closer to Mr. Happy than anywhere closer to Captain Sour, the star of the Everything Sucks show, right? So all I'm saying, my friends, is just like on the internet, where we have control over our algorithm if we're paying attention to what we're looking at and paying attention to what we decide to watch and paying attention to what we want to have around us, we can do exactly the same thing in our regular life. We can do that. And I've been in the process of doing that. And I hope you begin the process of doing that if that's something that you need to do. One of the best things for the algorithm on the online is when people who like this podcast tell other people about the podcast. That would reflect fantastically on my real life and online algorithm if you would do that. If you're not subscribed to this podcast, you subscribing to this podcast would do wonders for S. Anthony Thomas's personal algorithm. If you would rate and review this podcast, it would be fantastic. Tell a friend, tell a friend. It would be fantastic. My algorithm would be fantastic if you would do that. Well, my algorithm is doing pretty daggone good right now because you're listening right now. And I appreciate you. And I hope everything goes well for you, my friends. Much love to you all. This episode is over and I will see you again next time. Do me a favor.
Guard your algorithm, my brothers and sisters. Guard your algorithm. Take care. Much love to you.